As a preacher, there are some sermons that you stand up and you are just excited to preach. You can't hardly get into the pulpit fast enough. And then there's some sermons that you're not really excited to preach. But you recognize that the need is there for such a sermon to be preached, and you know that part of your responsibility as a preacher is to deal with some of those sermons, to preach those lessons, because they are needed. Not necessarily because it has to do with anything or anyone in the congregation, but because as part of preaching the whole counsel of God, those things have to be stated. For me, at this particular time, this is one of those sermons that falls into the latter category. And as we introduce the lesson this morning, I think you will understand why. I had set this sermon in my schedule to preach about 5 weeks ago. I try to plan ahead. You know, I try to be prepared and be ready to go. Little did I know that in the last 3 weeks, I would find out that I have two friends, two what I've always considered to be very close friends, who have made some terrible decisions in their lives. They are ones who were, at least to everything I knew, faithful members of the body of Christ. One of them was caught in a police sting soliciting a prostitute. Another one, and I'm not going to mention their names because it doesn't matter to the overall impact of things. Another one I found out this past week during the gospel meeting. Up and left his wife and his three kids and moved to another state to move in with another woman, who when she found out that he was married then threw him out, and now he's living by himself. But we found out that this wasn't the first time he had had many other women other than his wife over the last few years. This morning, I want us to consider those who have fallen. I'm not talking about those who have fallen on the battlefield. I'm not talking about those who have fallen because of age or disability. Those who have fallen for Christ, or from Christ. Because you see, maybe the hardest thing about those two men that I just mentioned to you is that the fact that they both are, or were until these things occurred, gospel preachers. And what I want us to understand as we enter into this study this morning is that as we talk about the things that cause and the things that bring a person to the point where they fall away from God, there is nobody who is immune. There is nobody who is not susceptible if we are not careful, if we are not cautious, if we are not studious of God's Word and of the things that He would have us to do and make a strong and continuous attempt and effort to stay away from those things. There is not any one of us that is immune from the effects of falling away from God. Paul would write to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse number 12, "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." There are always going to be before every Christian dangers which present themselves, which make available the means by which one can fall away from God. The Hebrews writer would write to those of that day, Hebrews chapter 4, beginning in verse number 1, he says, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. He goes on to say, dropping down in verse number 11, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Peter warns of those who fall away, of the dire consequences of their actions. You look at 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse number 20, where he talks about the one who knew the truth and obeyed the truth and then turned back into the world, that it's like the dog going back to his own vomit, or the sow that was washed who were wallowing in the mire. And yet he does not say it is impossible for someone to fall, for someone to leave. As a matter of fact, it is just as possible, it is just as able to occur in someone who is young as someone who is old. Someone who is a new convert as someone who has been in the church for 30 or 40 or 50 years. Solomon would write in the book of Proverbs that pride goeth before a fall and a haughty spirit before destruction. We need to be ones who are cognizant of the fact that it is possible for us to fall away from God. Not that we intend to, not that we plan to, and not that certainly we should or ought to, but that it is possible for us to. And that therefore we need to be proactive in making sure that we understand how it is that man can fall away from God and be able to use our knowledge and our understanding to prevent that from happening to us. So this morning, I want us to examine those who have fallen and the reasons that the Scripture gives as to why individuals fall away from God. I would contend this morning that the overwhelming majority of those who become obedient to God and then fall away will fall into one of three categories, or because of one of three categories. I'd like us to spend a few moments this morning looking at these three ways. First of all, an individual can fall from God. Peter would write in 2 Peter chapter 3 and in verse number 17 as he concludes that particular book. And he would state, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. It is possible for an individual to fall away from God by falling from their steadfastness toward God. The word there that is translated steadfastness means their firm condition, their steadfastness of mind, or a steadfast mindset. The idea being that over time, with the things that occur, with the things that happen, they stop standing on the promises of God. They stop standing, they stop having confidence in the things that they should have confidence, and as that faith, as that steadfastness starts to whittle away, eventually it sets up this slippery slope that they fall down and they never seem to get back up again. As we studied the Christian graces a number of months ago, one of the graces that we are to add to our lives is that of patience. Steadfastness, endurance. We can fall away from God by losing our endurance, by getting tired, by getting tired of fighting the battles, by getting worn out, by just feeling like it's a lost cause. Nobody cares. I just give up and go home. We've probably all seen members of the body of Christ over the years who have felt exactly that way. They're tired of fighting. They're tired of struggling. They're tired of all of the things that happen, and so they just decide, I quit. When we do so, we do, as Paul talks about to the Galatians in Galatians chapter 5 and in verse 4, fall from grace. We fall away from, we remove ourselves from the grace of God. We cannot quit on God and then expect that somehow God is going to continue with us. Jesus would talk about in the parable of the soils in Luke chapter 8. And in verse number 13, as he is explaining the different venues or the different parts of the parable, he says in verse 13, "They that are on the rock are they which, when they hear, they receive the word with joy. But they have not root, which for a while believe, and in the time of temptation fall away." They never have that full steadfastness, that full endurance. They've never really taken root in Christ. And as the trials and the troubles and the problems of life come along, they quit. They give up. One of the ways that we fall away from God is when we don't root ourselves in Him. When we do not hold on to Him, but instead we hold on to ourselves. In Hebrews chapter 12, we recognize verses 1 and 2, where the Hebrews writer says, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." But then he says in verse 3, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." We must be ones who are rooted constantly in what Christ has done for us, what he has given for us, what he's made available to us. Otherwise, we'll become tired. We'll become worn out. And we'll fall away from God. But secondly, some of those who have fallen from God by not having their steadfastness in place. Some of those who fall away from God fall in, as it were. And by that we mean that many of those who fall away from God because they have fallen in love with the things of this world. You know, John would state in 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse number 15, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." I would contend that probably the overwhelming majority of those who fall away from God fall away because they've fallen back in love with the world. They've fallen back in love with the things that the world has to offer. And this is not just in our time. It happened just as much during the time of the first century. Even to those who were close with the apostles. If you go and you read Colossians chapter 4 and in verse number 14, you will read there concerning a man by the name of Demas. Demas is one who has traveled with and he has worked with the apostle Paul. And in Colossians chapter 4 and in verse 14, he is commended by the apostle as having been one who works with him and receives or sends his salutations with Paul in the letter to the Colossians. Then you get down to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, as Paul closes out this second letter to Timothy near the end of his life, he makes the statement beginning in verse 9, "Do thy diligence to come unto me shortly." Why? "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." Demas left his obligation. Demas left his responsibility. He left the work that he was doing for the cause of Christ. Why? Because he had fallen in love with the world again. Think back to Acts chapter 5. And you read there concerning a husband and wife combo with which we're pretty familiar, Ananias and Sapphira. Ananias and Sapphira were those who were willing, we read in verses 1 through 10, to sell a piece of their property and to give it to the apostles to use. At least part of it. There was nothing wrong with them selling the property. There was nothing wrong with bringing a portion of it to the apostles. The problem is they had fallen in love with the idea of the recognition of men. And so they gave part of it, but then they told the apostles that they had given all of it because somehow they thought they would get more credit if they had said they'd given all of it than if they just said they'd brought a portion of it. And having lied to the apostles and to the Holy Spirit, they will be condemned for their actions and they will die right then and there, struck down by God. Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. What happened? They fell away from God because they fell in love with physical things. They fell in love with the world. They fell in love with the admiration of others. Jesus will state over and over again during the time of his preaching and of his ministry that we cannot become focused on the physical. We cannot fall in love with the things of this earth and be obedient to God. You turn back to Matthew chapter 6. And you read there in the Sermon on the Mount, we don't have time to read all of these verses this morning, but you read chapter 9 or verse 19 through the end of the chapter. And the focus of that entire section is not placing your trust, not putting your love in the things of this world. He begins in verse 19 by saying, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." He then goes on to say in verse 24, "No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and mammon. The term there for mammon is literally physical things. Many people fall away from God because they have fallen in love with those things of a physical nature. Whether it be falling in love and finding more to be more important their houses, their cars, their possessions, their riches, maybe their job, maybe it's their hobbies, their sports. That whenever it comes to a contest between that thing and God, God always loses. Many people fall away from God because they have fallen in love with the things of this world. But in the third place, and finally this morning, people fall away from God because they have fallen from their steadfastness. People fall away from God because they fall in love with the world once again. But finally, people fall away from God because they have fallen for something. There are also those Christians who will fall away from God because they have fallen for false doctrines. They have fallen for the teachings of men, and they have decided that those teachings of men are more important and are more valuable and are more useful than what God had to say. Jesus, again in the Sermon on the Mount, will give warning to beware of false prophets. Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 15, he says, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." There are always going to be those out there who are trying to convince us and who are trying to get us to believe in things that are contradictory to the Word of God by claiming that they are the Word of God. That's why John would tell his readers in 1 John chapter 4 and in verse 1, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God." Why? Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Don't ever take the word of man for anything. That was one of the commendations that the church or that the people of Berea received in Acts chapter 17, was that when the Apostle Paul came and he preached to them, that they were ones who searched the scriptures daily, verse number 11, to make sure that the things that they had been told were true. Never take a man's word for anything when he claims to be speaking for God. And yet, time after time, people will fall away from God because they have been drawn in by something that some preacher has to say, or some family member, or somebody else that they trust and that they admire. And they pull them away from God. Paul would write to the Galatians. In Galatians chapter 1, beginning in verse number 6, as the Galatian churches are there struggling at that particular time with various aspects of false teachers that are coming in and trying to tear the church apart. He says in Galatians chapter 1 and in verse 6, I'm amazed that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. See, the time is always present when there are those who will try to pull us away from God, not by causing us to do things that are wrong, per se, but by trying to get us to believe and to follow after things that are wrong. Peter would write in 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse number 1. He says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." Peter says there are those who have come in the past, they're coming now, and yes, they're still here, who will pervert and who will twist the word of God, and they will deny the Lord through the things that they teach, even the things which we take to be so fundamental. And yet there will be many that will follow their evil ways. And because of them, the way of truth, the way of the gospel, will be evil spoken of by others because they know just how ridiculous the things that are being taught are. We must be careful that we do not fall away from God because we have fallen for false doctrines. Paul would caution Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Beginning in verse number 1, he says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." He'll go on to list a few of the things that are going to be involved with those false doctrines. But then he tells him in verses 6 and 7, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Yes, Paul says there are going to be those who are going to come in and they are going to try to drive away members of the church from the truth by having them fall for lies. But he says if you put the brethren in remembrance of these things, that those types of people are out there and what the truth is and what they are to follow and what they are to know, you'll be a good minister of Jesus Christ. And exercise yourself to godliness. If we are ones who fall away from Christ because we have fallen for false doctrines, John says, 2 John verse 9, that we do not have God. He says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. How do we fall away from God? Could be a number of different ways. We can fall away from God by falling from our steadfastness, by getting tired, by getting worn out, by feeling like it's a lose-lose situation, and so I'm just going to get out while I can. And we quit on God. We can fall away from God by falling in love once again with the world. The things that Satan dangles before us so temptingly. The things that would seem to make life so much easier. Make us more happy. Make us have more power or more prestige or more revered among men. We can fall away from God by falling for false doctrine. By falling for those things which are not true because we haven't taken the time or we haven't been interested in checking God's word and making sure that that's what's right. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. It is not impossible for any of us to fall away from God. However, if we make sure that we are living as God would have us to, and that we are studying His Word, and that we are implementing His Word, and we are living His Word in our lives, then we can make sure that that never happens. Peter would write in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 8, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. He hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Speaking of the Christian graces. None of us will ever reach the point in our lives on this earth where we cannot fall. But we can reach the point in our lives through the things that we say, the things that we do, and the things that we know of God's Word that we will not fall. Because we will not allow it to happen. We will make the choices and the decisions in our life that will say every day that we live, I choose to live for God and to do His will. If you're outside the body of Christ this morning, are you willing to make that commitment to God? To be willing to say, knowing what God expects of you, that yes, I will commit to living my life in service to Him. Believing that Jesus is the Son of God and believing that His Word is truth, are you willing to repent of your sins? To turn away from those things that stand between you and God, to confess Christ before men and to be immersed in water to have your sins washed away? Maybe you're one who's already a member of the body of Christ, but you're one of those who has fallen. You want to know what the best news in all of these things is? You don't have to stay that way. James would state in James chapter 5 and in verse number 19, "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins." If you've fallen away, if you've become unfaithful to God, you can come back. He's waiting and willing to accept you back. If we can assist you in any way this morning, would you please come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?